Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Is it the end of the world as we know it? Jack Kibbs, one of the most important voices in America, joins us to walk us through what does the Bible say about the end times? Are we in the end times? And if we are, how should we react? And also, Jack Kibbs gives a prayer for our new Speaker of the House, and he takes your questions. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com and become a member and listen advertiser-free, charliekirk.com, and click on the Members tab. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is one of the most important voices on the planet and also a mentor of mine and someone I'm honored to call a friend, Jack Kibbs. Jack, welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time.
Charlie, thank you, man, for having me. Blessed by it.
So much to cover. We received thousands of emails, Jack, when I started to tease that you were coming on with so many questions about what's happening in the world. And so we're going to walk through all of that. So, Jack, let's start at just the first part. What does the Bible say about the end of time, about Christ's return? For someone who is a new Christian or not sure, and they hear these things about the end times, is it the end of the world as we know it? What does the Word of God say, Jack Kibbs?
Yeah, the Word of God is very, very specifically clear if we take the time to read it. That's the number one thing. So, Charlie, really quick, it's basically this. When somebody talks about the last days, remember this, Jesus said himself that we are in the last days. However, view it as an umbrella, a gigantic umbrella. And underneath the umbrella, there are dispensations or events or times. We are now 2,000 years into what Jesus said and the apostles said are the last days. But he gave specific warnings as to how to identify the last days. The number one indicator is literally found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, Daniel, chapter 9, and in Matthew 23:24, when the Bible says one of the real kickoffs of the last days is the rebirth, Charlie, rebirth, I underline that, the rebirth of the nation Israel. The book of Ezekiel says that God would draw his people back from all corners of the world, Isaiah 43, and that he would assemble them back into their own land in the last days. He would cause their land to become farmed and prosperous and fruitful. But watch this, they would come back not believing in God, which is amazing to think, but also this, that when he did that, Charlie, that he would begin to assemble at the same time, there'd be nations surrounding Israel that would be against Israel's existence and that they would seek to destroy it from the face of the earth. So it's a remarkable thing that we are now talking about Israel, May 14th, 1948, a nation was born for the second time in one day. Isaiah 66 said, can a nation be born in one day? Will Zion be brought forth with her children in one day? And the answer is yes. So that's where we're at. That's Israel in the short term. Of course, Israel has a history that is unlike any other nation on earth.
That was super helpful, Jack. Thank you. And then I want to go through also what happens once those birth pains occur. But let me ask you a question we received from our audience. Some people say, Charlie, my pastor says that what happened in 1948 is not actually Israel. Israel is just the Jewish people, not the creation of a government that happens to be in the Middle East. I'm sure you've received this question before, Jack. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, number one, the pastor's critique is exactly correct, but the pastor needs to read more of his Bible. It's kind of what I said a moment ago, that the government of Israel has been brought together by the will of God, not by the opinion of men or the United Nations or by even Harry Truman, Charlie, at the time. The thing is this, God said, I'm going to cause the nation to come into existence a second time. So that removes our opinions. The question is this, is Israel a sovereign country? Well, the answer is yes, but people get confused with the fact that, well, they don't believe in God. But Charlie, the pastor needs to understand, again, he said that they would come back into their land in unbelief. It's part of the amazing miracle. Yes, Israel's a country. Yes, we do understand that they do not believe in Yeshua, Jesus as Messiah. But even that was prophesied in Scripture. Charlie, they're gearing up. Imagine it this way. The pieces are being set in place like a play just before Les Miserables begins. You can see through the curtain. Everything's getting set up for what? For the big debut, when God specifically turns to Israel for the final time based upon his eternal covenant with Abraham, with Israel. And that is called the 7-year tribulation period. A lot of people don't understand. For 7 years, based on Daniel chapter 9, God will deal specifically, not with the church, but exclusively with Israel. Those 7 years is all about God in Israel and a Christ-rejecting world. The church has no business in that arena. Again, Daniel chapter 9. So pastors need to realize we do understand that the Israeli government to themselves is living without God. They may act like they know God. They may go through traditions, but they're not trusting God. They're not calling for prayer. But that is exactly what the Bible warned about and taught us about. The birth of the nation would be very, very secular at the beginning. Dry bones, Ezekiel said. They would come together with no spirit in them. But just before the end, Charlie, in Ezekiel 36 and 37, God said, then I will breathe my spirit of life into them. Then they're going to believe in me. And that is going to be a time that is yet close, but yet coming.
So let me ask you then, Jack, how should we as Christians, let's react and also support Israel? Some Christians say, you know, they are not a godly nation, gay pride parades, you know, there's all sorts of different stuff there. So why do I, a Christian or a believer, why should I side with the Israeli government? I'm sure you get this question a lot, Jack, and I'm only asking Jack to try to have us educate the audience. Yeah. You know how I stand on this. So how would you respond to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Charlie, the Christian is commanded to provoke the Jew to jealousy. Paul said that. Second thing is this, we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Third thing is we're to remember, as I said earlier, that God's covenant with Israel is an everlasting covenant. And then finally, God is going to save the remnant of Israel. So how do we respond? Number one, as a church, everything that we do, I do to advance the gospel of Jesus to the Jew. Okay, we broadcast into Israel. We give love to Israel. But listen, we don't approve of the politics just because of Israeli politics. There's a lot of stuff that Israel does that we don't agree with. That's not my point, and that's not the mission of the gospel. It's to share the love of Jesus with the Jew. We need to all do that because we're commanded to do that. And so can we look past Charlie Kirk's faults and failures, Jack Hibbs' faults and failures, and reach them with the gospel? The answer should be yes. In fact, Charlie, that's how you and I got saved. People looked past our sin, yes, and gave us the... We need to look past the sins of Israel and the sins of the Jew and give them the hope of Jesus, which, by the way, is the same hope you give to the Palestinians, the Russians, the Canadians, and even in those who live in the People's Republic of California, where I'm at.
And so, therefore, when we start to see war and rumors of war break out, Jack, talk about what that means. That is something that Christ our Lord said explicitly in regards to the end of time.
everything Jesus said, what Charlie's referring to, everybody, is the Olivet Discourse. It's specifically Jewish. It deals with the world getting ready for God to turn his eyes upon the Jew in a redemptive sense. Wars and rumors of wars, the word and the term in Matthew 24 is this. There's always been wars and rumors of wars, but they're going to escalate. Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes, but they're going to escalate. There's going to be famines, but they're going to escalate. And everybody knows this who watches your program and has a heartbeat. Things are escalating. Israel's front and center. Charlie, check this out. God says, in the last days before I return, Jerusalem and Israel will become a burdensome stone, as it were, tied around the neck of the nations. And anyone who embroils themselves against her, right, will be destroyed. So, wow, we're looking at a time right now where, according to Zechariah and Ezekiel 37, all the nations of the world will eventually turn their backs on Israel. That could be happening now, leaving her alone. And that's when Israel turns toward the Lord. Not all of Israel, but Jesus said a remnant will believe. In the meantime, let us love them with the gospel. You don't have to love them by throwing flowers at them and giving them a thumbs up. Love them toward the gospel.
Towards the truth of Jesus Christ. For those of you that are not watching Jack Hibbs, I watch him every weekend. And Jack, you were made for such a time as this. I got to tell you, you are hitting grand slam after grand slam right now. The Lord is working powerfully through your ministry. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. So, Jack, let me ask you, you mentioned a word previously, dispensationalism. That is a word, I don't know if you even call yourself that, but it's a word that's being thrown out a lot. What does that mean, and where does it come from?
Yeah, number one, people have a knee-jerk reaction to the word dispensationalism because of abuse. I get it. But even the Bible, if you do a word search on the word dispensation, God put it in the Bible, it simply means this without making it confusing like people do. It means that, for example, the Old Testament was a dispensation of God. He spoke, he moved, he talked, he revealed in one way. And the New Testament is another dispensation. It doesn't contradict the other. It complements the other. So you have Old Testament revelation or economy or dispensation. You have the New Testament economy or revelation or dispensation. Both are in perfect harmony because the same God is the author of them both. It goes this way. What God promised and revealed in the old is revealed and documented fulfillment in the new. So people who get upset about dispensationalism, they're actually, Charlie, swallowing camels while straining at a gnat. They just need to calm down and realize that you and I are living right now in the age of grace, is what it's called. It's the church age. When God's done with the church, and he's going to be done soon, he's going to finish his last 7 years that he promised to Israel in Daniel chapter 9. And you can say that that's a dispensation or a certain time that God works, but some people can't handle that. I get it. It's okay. I'm not going
to
lose
any sleep. Well, and so just to kind of reinforce the argument, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Micah, it says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem, that the Messiah will be born of a virgin, right? Come from the line of Abraham, or even Isaiah 53, which is incredibly specific about, you know, what the Messiah will experience through the afflictions of, you know, the opposition of, as like a root out of dry ground, I believe it says. And so, Jack, I think, can you just remind our audience of some of the biblical prophecy that has already been confirmed? So this is not some sort of just forward-facing, trust me, for example, that Messiah will be called Emmanuel.
Charlie, thank you for that. So here's the thing. Yes, this is why, even right now, allow this to seep in. This is why Israel is so important. Hang on. Is the Old Testament prophets said exactly what Charlie just said. How do you find, my Jewish friends, how do you know if your Messiah, has come or is to come? Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem. He had to be born of a virgin. Isaiah, as Charlie said, that he would be one that the governments of the nations would be upon his shoulders. Isaiah chapter 9, that he would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey that no one has ever ridden upon before. Zechariah 9:9, okay? That he would be pierced in his hands and his feet. That's a 3,000-year-old prophecy that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago from King David, Psalm 22, his hands and his feet, they will pierce him. That is speaking about the Messiah. Charlie said it correctly. Isaiah 53, it's all about the Messiah. He will die for the sins of the nation and the world. God says in the Bible, Charlie, that God will build up Zion. There's only one Zion in the world, and that's in Jerusalem. It's on Mount Moriah. The Bible says that there has to be an Israel when Christ comes back in the second coming. And according to the Bible, he has to come back to the nation of Jerusalem. Why is that important? Because he has to sit on the throne of David to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament. Where's the throne of David? It's in Jerusalem. This is all part of eschatology or Bible prophecy. And so we must not resist the plan of God when we mention Israel, even though we don't agree with everything Israel's doing, but we must embrace the fact that God is moving toward a prophesied, predetermined conclusion revealed in the Bible, and Christ is going to establish his millennial reign, a thousand-year reign of Christ from the throne of David, Charlie. If he doesn't, we've got the wrong Jesus Christ. That's how important the Old Testament prophecies are, and the recording of the New Testament as it's being fulfilled. Remarkable.
Now that is wonderful news. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here, and like many of you, I'm a busy guy balancing family, show, travel, and TPUSA. When I needed a mortgage, I went to my friends Andrew Delray and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific. They were amazing, and look, I had some complicated stuff, don't need to go into the details. They handled it personally. Call them if you have an aging family member, for example, that needs some financial relief. Ask them about a reverse mortgage. If you're self-employed and are finding it difficult to qualify because of that, they have my 100% full and complete endorsement. Call them and help you prepare. I'm telling you, anything mortgage-related, please call them and not the big woke banks. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they will get back to you with answers. Call them at 888-888-1172, andrewandtodd.com. They're good friends of mine. Full and complete endorsement. If you are a first-time home buyer, renting, and want to be, they'll call and help you prepare. Check it out, andrewandtodd.com. That is andrewandtodd.com. Fill out the quick form, and they'll get you back with answers, andrewandtodd.com. So, Jack, what does the Bible say about the rapture?
Yep, the Bible talks about the rapture in several locations. People need to understand something that if they are reading an English Bible, Charlie, they will not find the word rapture. Somebody will say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the English Bible. The word rapture is found in the Latin Bible. And so the King James translators, for example, they understood that the English, the best that we can do for the English to relate to the word rapture or rapturus in Latin is two word compound. In the English, it's caught up. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It's in the Bible. If you're reading your Latin Bible in Latin, it's right there. But if you're reading, for example, Greek, Charlie, in the Greek Bible, it's the word harpazo. Caught up in English, harpazo in Greek, and rapture in Latin all means the exact same word. To be violently or quickly removed in the context is away from the earth. How do we know? John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said it himself. I'm going to go away and to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4 says that we will be those who have died, bodies resurrected at the rapture, and those who are alive shall be caught up, rapture, harpazo, to meet them, that is the deceased who have died before us, and meet them in the air and be with the Lord forever. So people who say it's not in the Bible, they need to understand that they get bogged down with the word rapture. How about this? Harpazo. Forget about the word rapture. Talk about harpazo. It's Greek. For us, it's closer to our understanding, but caught up in the English. It's going to happen. It's promised to the church. And people get, Charlie, what you're really scratching on now is very important doctrine. And I am, you are what's known as a futurist, premillennial, pre-tribulationist. What does that mean? It means that we take the Bible literally, where it says literally, and when it's typological, the Bible says so. For example, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. That means we know a dove did not land on Jesus' shoulders when he was baptized. It was like a dove. However, when it's talking about the catching away of the saints, listen to this. Luke 21:36 says that when you see all these things beginning to happen in the world around you, look up and pray that you escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. That's a reference to the rapture. There are many references, Charlie. People just, we need to get away from our denominational isms and let the Bible speak to us itself and stop trying to read things into it. And we won't go astray if we read the word and let the word speak to us.
So Jack, let me ask you, that topic is a source of such contention. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's such passion? Because we're receiving emails on both sides. You know, a pastor just emailed me, Charlie, couldn't disagree more. I'm not even going to read it, Jack. Help me understand.
Yeah, it's okay. Isn't it tragic? So that pastor, for example, should read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And Charlie, verse 18 says, and therefore, it's all about the hope of Christ's imminent coming at any moment with no warning. And then he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. It should be a great comfort. The church's sins were judged at the cross. The church does not go the tribulation period. You can't find the church in the tribulation period. It's all about Israel and tribulation saints. Listen, everybody listen up, especially the pastor that texted or emailed Charlie. There are Old Testament saints. They wear white robes, the Bible says. There is the church age saints, the bride of Christ. She wears linen, fine, bright, and white. And then there's the tribulation saints that are beheaded for their faith, and they're giving white robes. You've got Old Testament saints, tribulation saints wearing white robes, and you've got the church in the Bible wearing fine white linen, clean and bright, which is none other than a wedding gown. You need to remember that when you look at this. Also keeping in mind that the church, and we're living right now, Charlie, at a time, this is the first time in human history where the church and Israel as a nation has existed at the same time. God is shifting away, almost done with the church. He's going to call the church up and dial down on Israel as promised. But we must understand the difference. When the Bible talks about saints, you need to ask the question, what's the context of when it talks about saints? Because the Bible says the saints will be beheaded in the tribulation period. The Bible says the saints will die for their faith. Don't confuse those saints with the church. Those are the tribulation saints. The church in Revelation 19 is in heaven. She's not spoken of anywhere in the book of Revelation after chapter 4. The next time she's mentioned, Charlie, she's in heaven. The question is, how'd she get there? Answer is John 14 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
So Jack, this is so powerful. The what I love about your approach is also then what is to be done. Because some people might agree with everything you've said, and they said, well, therefore, who am I to get in the way of God's plan? It's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Let's just run to the hills and let the storm pass. You have a completely 180-degree different approach, which is what, Jack Kibbs?
Yeah, the Bible says occupy till he comes, right? The Bible tells us to be salt and light, that we are to make a difference in this world. Yes, Charlie and I together are involved in a lot of things that are to affect our culture. We are fighting porn in public schools.
Yes.
Our church, Charlie knows, the Democrat state in California knows our church. They hate our church. We are a force in this state. Why? Because watch, we believe Jesus could come back at any moment. We're ready to meet him. In the meantime, we believe that so much that we are getting people to run for Congress. We're getting people to run for school board. We are stopping porn in the public school system. We are doing our best constantly to affect the culture. Why? Frankly, for this one reason. When Jesus comes back, we want to be caught doing our Father's business. So I'm preparing for the next 100 years because I'm supposed to occupy. And that's hard, Charlie, because I believe he could come back today. But I got to focus on what we're supposed to do, be faithful. And the last thing I want to do is sit on my roof with a white robe and wait for him to come back when there's so much good to be done. And I want to tell everybody about Jesus so we take with us as many men and women,
yes,
and boys and girls when he comes.
So now's the time to not be complacent or to just sit idly by. So Jack, can you just speak to what I believe is an unclean spirit and a temptation of the flesh to misapply the promise of God's plan to inaction in the moment? Can you talk about that? Because I see it every so often, Jack. I get texts, Charlie, what's the point? I'm going to sit this out. God has it all covered. God is sovereign. He has a plan. I am not needed for that plan. I think that's an unclean spirit, Jack, applying something really poor to a truth. Can you help unpack that for us?
Charlie, you are 100%. What you're referring to is in the last days, there's going to be deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, teachings from demons. Watch this. What you just said, and Charlie, you do it better and most than pastors in America. And honestly, I love what you're doing. Don't stop. But that's a shame on pastors that are not engaging the culture, because we are supposed to be the watchman on the wall, blowing the trumpet of warning if danger is approaching. And the Bible tells us that if we don't warn those that we are overseeing of the encroaching danger, their blood is on our hands as shepherds. So we are to be absolutely engaged in the culture, at the same time getting ready to go up. And there should be no problem to somebody reconciling that. Charlie, when somebody says, well, I don't get involved in politics, well, you need to repent of that. Because, listen, government was given by God. Politics is what man does to government when good people are not involved. The first Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America, John Jay, said it's best for us to elect Christians to office because they understand these things. We have been given the custodialship of a nation and a republic, and a Christian cannot sit it out. You're to vote even in, look, hello, I'm coming from California. Everything we vote for from a Christian worldview gets defeated. But we keep voting the right way, doing the right thing. You want to know why? I'm not doing it for any political party. I'm doing it because I want to be faithful to God. I'm going to do the right thing no matter who says what.
Yes, and how blessed are we to be in the time where things are going to be exciting, they're going to be turbulent, right? And finally, Jack, someone says, how can Jack be so certain that this is the end times? I don't know if you're saying that, Jack. You're looking at the signs, but you also say right. The hour and the day is the unknown. But can you just, can you unpack that? Because sometimes people need to be very careful what they're hearing.
Yeah. Number one, read your New Testament. Jesus said, and the apostles said 2000 years ago, that these are the last days. These are the last times. However, Paul the apostle announced that as we get deeper into the end time events, he said, you will have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves will know that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night to those who are not paying attention. Watch this. He says, you're going to discern the times and the seasons. The hour and the day, nobody knows. So when we look around since May 14th, 1948, we got to sit up and take notice. When we look at the Soviet, Charlie, this is key. The Soviet Union is no longer the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union went away. It's Russia. exactly as Ezekiel 38 said it would be. That causes me to sit up. The Bible says that in the last days before the Lord returns, all of the nations will turn their back on Israel. Yikes, that's happening. Jesus warned in the Olivet Discourse that anti-Semitism is going to arise. It's happening. Wow, we are hearing around the world around us that man will worship creation rather than the creator.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has an extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-235-887 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. This is a huge topic, but many people in our audience say, how should we as Christians think about Islam? What does the Bible say about Islam? Not radical Islam. I'm just talking about the religion of Islam. What does the Bible say? How should we think about it from a Christian perspective? Jack Hibbs.
Charlie, I'm not trying to sell anything. Listen, the greatest thing that they can do right now, and I mean this with all my heart, is we just hosted a Islamic apologist expert, top rated in the world on the Quran and the theology of Islam in Muhammad. And you can go to jackhibbs.com and you'll see a guy's name there called Jay Smith, J-A-Y Smith. He's the greatest living apologist on Islam. And he's going to tell you why Islam is bankrupt, where it came from, who was Muhammad, all documented. He's a renowned expert on this. But Charlie, let me say this way. People need to be careful that they do not clump all Arabs into Islam. Don't think that all Palestinians are Muslims. Islam is a 7th century religion that came out of really the disenfranchisement of the system of Muhammad himself. And what we're looking at is a worldview belief that is rooted in a caliphate, meaning it is a theocratic, geopolitical belief system. It's not just a religion. The religion of Islam is only a faction of many other aspects of what is called Islam. The word Islam in Arabic means submit, okay? And it is in all aspects. It is the hijacking of the Middle East, Islam. It is violent. It is deadly. It's a death cult. And the teachings of the Hadith and the Quran and the history of Islam and the life of Muhammad confirm this. I'm not making it up and I'm not slamming. In fact, I ask any Muslim right now, read the Bible and pick which one answers your soul, the heart cry of your soul. How are you going to get your sins forgiven if you don't read your Bible? Because you're not going to find forgiveness. You won't even find the word love in the Quran, nor the word Jerusalem. Okay? Remember this. Islam is a man-made religion based in works, but those are violent works. In fact, for that matter, Judaism is based on works. The offer that God gives you is faith alone in Jesus Christ, because he alone died on the cross for the sins of the entire world. His arms are open to everyone who will turn to him. And listen, God loves all people, but all people have sinned. He paid the price so you can get the ticket to heaven. That ticket is acknowledging your sin and accepting him as your savior. That's what you got to do. Islam needs Jesus.
Jack, will you close in a prayer for our Speaker of the House, a believer, an adjunct professor at Liberty University, a strong constitutional patriot? Will you join us in just a minute prayer, Jack, for Mike Johnson? Jack Hibbs, take it away.
And a man who's already gone to his knees on the floor in the Congressional House with others around him in prayer, giving America to the Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Charlie. Father, we ask you, Lord, right now together, God, it's your will. Your Bible says that people live in peace, that we have godly leaders. Your Bible tells us that when the righteous are in power, people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, people groan. God, we pray that you would give Mike influence, persuasion, that you'd lead him and guide him. Father, that he would seek you every day. And Lord, that you'd cause your mantle of authority to be upon him and not any human attempt to establish authority. God, maybe this is a turning point for our nation. We're lost right now. We need good leaders, but we need you, God, first. So Lord, bless him, fill him with your Holy Spirit, baptize him with the wisdom of Solomon. And Father, may we see our military, our Congress, our Senate, our nation protected. And Lord, please be the defender of our borders. And Lord, bless Charlie and Eric and the family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jack, for your time. I think I'm going to see you this weekend in Colorado. God bless, Jack.
See you then. God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.